Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, well, happy Mother's Day. Let's give a hand again to all of our moms here today. What a blessing. We're so grateful, of course. My wife, Michelle's here today. I love her so much. And just such a blessing to our family. Michelle, I love you. And so I'd have her stand, but she's wrapped in a blanket right now. So how many of you ladies are freezing like my wife? Well, look, I tell them to fix it. They just don't care about you all. I'm telling you, the men in this church, it's just absolutely horrible. But somebody suggested we should have victory blankets available for you on the way in. Is that, you know what? That might be a great fundraiser. All right. So, no, we're so glad. Happy Mother's Day to you. You know, we just posted on social media something we did a while back called Italian Mary. And how many of you have watched Italian Mary? Well, evidently they reposted it and because they wanted to let you know we were going to do it again this weekend. And 18,000 people have seen Italian Mary now. It's not the thing you really want to be known for. I'm just saying, God, please don't let it go viral. I don't want to click on there one day and it has 1.2 million people. I'm thinking, Jesus, please don't let my legacy be dressed like a woman, particularly in what's going on in the world today. But that's another story. But if you've never heard of Italian Mary, it was from a series we did called Extraordinarily Normal, where we took people in the Bible who were basically normal people like you and me and how God used them. One of the people that we spent a weekend talking about was Mary. So we thought it would be kind of fun. What if Mary was like an Italian woman and more like an Italian grandma who has a broken English accent? And so that's where it kind of came from. And so this is a new one to kind of celebrate what it was like raising Jesus as an Italian Mary. So I can't go any further with this. Just take a look and pray that I recover. Take a look.
Happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a good day with your family. But I want to take a minute to tell you about how hard it was to raise Jesus. Some people, they don't think Jesus was a human as much as he was a God. If you change his diapers, you would have known he's a human. I taught Jesus to be a good host and to feed his guest. That the 5,000 thing he feed the people, he got that from me. I tried to give Jesus a responsibility when he's a little boy. I'd give him a goldfish. He'd forget to feed and he'd die. He'd keep raising it from the dead. I still have that crazy goldfish. I tried to be cheerleader for my kids. And when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, after every point, I tried to get the crowd to do the wave. They kicked me out. Jesus gave me iPhone for Mother's Day. What am I going to do with iPhone? I told him I want a cannoli. It's important that you as a mother watch your children's friends. That the Judas, he kept stealing my silverware. Hey, Jesus! Jesus! One time I lost that boy, they put it in the Bible. Hey, Siri, do you know Jesus?
I'm really not equipped to answer such questions.
Then you're going to go to hell. You know, I tried to teach Jesus to have good manners. And you know what he do? He heals somebody. He spits in their eye. I'm glad I got healed. But I got to admit, it kind of grosses me out. How come they call Olive Garden Italian food? Jesus, just like your kids, he never followed my fashion advice. One day he wear flip-flops to the prom. And don't get me started on that beard. Get directions to Bethlehem.
Getting directions to Bethlehem.
This would have come in handy when I was pregnant. I tried to teach Jesus to not be a politician. And he told me, he said, if they don't listen to my voice, they're all going to feel the burn. Where's the best pasta fagioli in Nazareth? You know, I tried to teach my children to keep the house clean. And I say, hey, Jesus, what, are you born in a barn? He was born in a barn.
All right. Yeah, well, there you go. Thankfully, we're teaching on Jesus' love today, and I'm a secure man. I'm a secure man. Woo! So the things you do for Mother's Day. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to you, and from Italian Mary, happy Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day can, for a lot of people, like the families that were just up here, this is a great day. And for some first-time moms, and it's just an incredible time. But, you know, Mother's Day for a lot of people has mixed emotions. And you may be here today and as a mom, and maybe you're a single mom. And you think, you know what, I don't get a lot of celebration on Mother's Day. My kids are we're trying to get through the next moment. You have no idea the torture it got us just to get to church today. It was so hard. And sometimes it can be difficult. And so Mother's Day sometimes can be a reminder even of the regrets you have as a parent. You may be here and maybe your mom is in heaven, or maybe recently in heaven, or maybe you didn't have a great relationship with your mom, or don't. So sometimes these can be really, really difficult times for folks. And certainly there are people, I'm sure, here that want to be a mom and haven't had that happen for them yet. And today can be a stinging day. And certainly we have moms here who have children in heaven. So this could be a really bittersweet day for people. But what I want to help you to understand today, no matter where you find yourself in that spectrum, maybe you're, again, one of the moms that have deep regrets. And I know as you get older in life and you've raised your kids, it's very easy to look backwards and feel a very sense of a deep regret for things that you wish you could have done better. But it's our heart's desire as a church that my prayer is that today, no matter how you've come here, maybe a pure celebration or maybe it's a mixed bag for you, that God by his presence does something special in your heart today, that he lifts you and he helps you and he graces you. It's one of the reasons we as a church are so devoted to the next generation. When I say next generation ministries, I'm talking from birth all the way up to our young adult ministries. We've devoted over 50% of the square footage of this building to the next generation. Right now, there are literally, this weekend, hundreds of people, literally, that will be serving and are serving the next generation right now, concurrently, while you're receiving ministry in this room. And in fact, next week, I'm going to make sure to give you an opportunity that many of you need to be connected to that purpose. And next week, I'm going to take about 5 minutes or so in the service, and I'm going to really talk to you about the necessity of involving yourself in reaching the next generation. But next week, our main focus is going to be on Jesus is the healer. And last week, we saw well over 100 plus people be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wasn't that a great weekend service? Man, that was so much fun. And next week, we're going to experience and trust for Jesus the healer, because Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did then, he can do now. And we're going to believe God to see his healing power manifested in next weekend service. So if you have need of healing in your body or know people that do, it's a great time to bring them. And we're going to trust God to see the move of the Holy Spirit and the capacity of the healing of the physical body to occur in next weekend services. So make sure you avail yourself to that. This coming fall, we're going to be launching in small part what we call ParentWise. It's our small groups that are going to be focused on helping you parent. Because I wish I had this curriculum. I wish I had older people who had already raised their kids to help hold my hand through this when we were being young parents. And so the things that we wish we had and that we'd long to have had, we are providing for you. And so if you have children in this church, if you're raising your families, we're about to step up to a whole nother level of resourcing you. And moms, we love you with all of our heart. Thank you for all that you do for all of us. And today I want to talk to you about the fact that Jesus is love. We're in the Jesus Is series, and this is the seventh of an eight-week series. And today I want to talk to you about the fact that he is personified love. And there's probably no greater illustration of love in our culture than the love of a mother. I know where our kids, I love my kids incredible with all my heart. So does their mom. But there was when they were little and she would leave me alone with my kids. And the minute they would leave the house, that she would leave the house, you could feel a sense of just say, not fear, but like somebody left that really cared what we wanted is now gone because I am left here with my father. And so when she would be gone immediately, my children, I would gather them together and I say, now listen, mom is now gone. She will be back in a couple of hours. Here's the rule. She cares if you're happy. I do not. So here's, if you're hurt or you need something that's serious, you can come get me. But other than that, don't make my life miserable. If you're hungry, go eat something. I don't care. I don't care if it's healthy, just eat it. Anyway, Happy Father's Day for you dads in the room. But there's something about the love of a mother. It's unconditional. The whole world can run away from your child. And your child may deserve the whole world to run away from them, but mom never gets to run away. And Jesus is love. I want to read to you out of Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Who you say Jesus is to you is everything. Not in a religious sense or a figurative sense, but I'm talking about an everyday life sense. Who is Jesus to you? Our entire lives, you have to understand this, are governed by what we believe about God. Not what we want, not what we wish for, not what we hope for, not what we write down in a book and someday I hope this happens. The outcome of your life is going to be largely shaped by what you believe about God, because what you believe about God will ultimately govern the way you make decisions in your life. And the most important belief that you can establish in your heart as a human being, the most important, bar none, is what you believe about how God sees you, what you believe about God's love toward you. I know when I was a young man and I had given my life to the Lord as about a 16-year-old kid, and then immediately walked away from that commitment and began to live my life on into the college years in a way that, let's just say, was not reflecting godliness. And that's an understatement. But when my life was turned around, and I began to, and God got a hold of my heart again, and I turned back and began to walk with God. I'll never forget sitting in a service where I was just, I remember where I was sitting. I remember how many rows back, so to speak, I was sitting in that service. And the pastor was speaking, and he was preaching out of the scripture, and he quoted John 16, verse 27. And this is a verse that actually I have written on my Bible cover. And our sound guy, Joel, works with leather, and Michelle had him make this for me for I forget what day it was, maybe Father's Day or a birthday gift. What was it? For anything? What was it for? Just a gift. You are so nice. No, she really is. Isn't that sweet? And so, thank you, baby. I thought it was like a special day. You're a good person. I don't care what Steve Moore says about you when you're not around. Steve Moore's a bad man. Anyway, this is a life verse to me. And that's why it's so important that you come to church. Because it's not what a pastor says. It's what the Holy Spirit will say as that man or that woman is speaking. And I remember sitting there and the pastor, you have to understand, I don't know why this is. Some of you may understand some of the quirks in your life or some of the reasons you believe about your future the way you do or your present. But I couldn't connect these dots. But here's what I can tell you. For whatever reason, I didn't think I would be able to grow up as an adult and have a life that other people had. I don't know why. I would see people with families. I would see them with children, and I would think, I can never have that. So why would you think that? I don't know. You see, I grew up and just never felt like I was going to be one of those people that could achieve something with their life. And I would go into environments, and you probably couldn't have seen it from the outside, or maybe you could, but it's how I felt. And I think a lot of us live with chains on our life like that. A lot of us live with those invisible barriers and those prison walls that life has built around us. And maybe yours are more obvious why yours are there than mine, but nonetheless, they were there. And I remember sitting in that service, and the pastor he still pastors the same church. He's a teaching machine. He used to teach and preach every service at least an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. And he talked so fast that it was like he talked 3 hours. And it was just, he is an amazing Bible teacher. And I remember just sitting under the Word of God in his ministry. It's so important to get the Word of God in your life. Because the thing you're craving for is not found outside of God. It's found within him. And he quoted John 16 where Jesus said, "For the Father himself loves you." The Father himself loves you. And I don't know how to explain this to you other than the Holy Spirit took the words of Jesus and revolutionized my life in a moment. Because somehow the revelation of Jesus dropped into my heart that, wait a minute, if the Father himself loves me, I mean, he loves me intimately. He began to talk about almost how God would be obsessed with you and that he loves you so much he was willing to die for you. As he began to just talk about that, it was like my world froze. And I can promise you on that day, my life didn't change overnight, but I can promise you there were shackles that fell off of my life that moment. There were walls, invisible walls that dropped. When the revelation of Jesus is love came into my heart, it's why one of the foundational messages of this church is that we're not here to see through you, but to see you through. We're not here to judge you and criticize you and to tell you the 50 things that's wrong about you. We're here to tell you about a God that loves you, that wants to bring life to you, that wants to bring grace to you, that wants to bring help to you. Until you understand this important, this all-important aspect of who God is to you, you will never live your life fully. You will live behind invisible walls. You might be successful. You might have money in the bank. You might have a beautiful house, a beautiful spouse, and a beautiful whatever. But I'm talking about your inward life. Because you will live no higher. You will have no greater quality of life than your inward life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the scripture says this. Whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Say it out loud. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Now listen, this is the love of God in Jesus. Listen, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The love of God, in my mind, and I'm trying to be honest with you, I had more of a religious concept of God. I didn't have a Bible concept of who God was. And I'll just be as plain as I know how to be with you. I'm not being derogatory. I'm just telling you that here's how I saw God's love for me. I saw God's love for me as a conditional thing. I saw God's love for me was something that I had to earn. That if I would do really well and please him, that he would love me more. And if I was failing and I was not living my life as I should, then God would stop loving me. I've actually heard parents say that to their kids. If you do that, Jesus won't love you. It's one of the greatest lies religion has told us, is that my love for God influences his love for me. It's absolutely the opposite. The Bible said, this is love, not that you love God, but that he loved you. The scripture said we love him because he loved us first. Religion will make you focus on your behavior. And your behavior is not what makes God love you. And you can't behavior yourself into a relationship with God. In fact, if you do this, and if you don't understand the love of God, it will actually drive you further from God. Because Jesus said it this way in the Gospel of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. The religious mind says, prove you love me by keeping my commandments. That is not what he said. He said, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments. So the goal is not keeping the commandments. The goal is to love him, because keeping the commandments is an outflow or a result of loving God. However, I cannot love God until I believe he loved me first. The scripture said we love him because he loved us first. So I can't keep his commandments until I love him, and I can't love him until I believe he loved me first. And until you understand the love of God is not something that you can change. You want people say, well, you're just saying people should live however they want and that God's okay with it. There's no right, no wrong, no up, no down. It's not what I said at all. I'm not talking to you about some religious list. I'm talking to you about a love relationship with a God that's passionately, obsessively in love with you, who wants to make you free and take you places you never dreamed possible and break the chains in your life. The chains of sin, the chains of bondage, the chains of pain, the chains of suffering that may be generational in your family. That's how it happens. It's through an intimate love relationship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus. But most of us see God through the lens of religion instead of the lens of his love. And it's his love that sets you free. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8, the love chapter. We've all heard it read at weddings. Might be seen it on your refrigerator or someone's. But it talks about love is kind, love is patient, and on and on. But the word love in scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 is synonymous with God. So you could put God's name in there. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 with God's name in there speaking to you today. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter where you failed. Because when you think what you do changes God's love for you, when you do wrong, you run from God. It actually drives you from God rather than to God. There are many of you listening to me right now that you are distant in your relationship with God because you can't let go of your past. You think God looks at you. And when he looks at you, he's disgusted. And he's like, you make me sick. And if you get close to me, I am going to punish you. Can I give you a little secret? God does not find out how messed up you are when you tell him. God doesn't find out all the mess in your life when you bring it to his attention. I've got news for you. He kind of knows. And if God, listen, if God wants to injure you, you can't hide. And yet Jesus said it, the scripture said it this way, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Now listen, Jesus said, for the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn it, but that through him the world might have life. Jesus isn't coming to beat you up. The world will beat you up. There is a devil that wants to kill you, steal from you and destroy you and beat you up. Jesus said, he's the one that's come to harm. I've come to give you life. Let me read 1 Corinthians 13 with putting God's name in there and speaking directly to you and me. God endures long and is patient and kind to me. Say it out loud. God is patient with me. God is kind with me. Now he goes on to say, he's never envious. He never boils over with jealousy. He's not boastful, vainglorious, does not display himself haughtily. He's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. He's not rude, unmannerly. God does not act unbecomingly. Now listen to this. God does not insist on his own rights or his own way. Why is that so important? Because God didn't make robots. People say, well, everything God wants to happen happens. That is thoroughly not in the Bible. Well, if God wants everything that happened, God had a plan. No, he didn't. God will redeem everything that happens in your life because he loves you. But everything that happens in your life was not the plan of God because he does not insist on his own rights or his own ways or his own will in your life. You can choose the will of God or you can reject it. He won't insist on it in your life. He will let you go on your own dark path if you choose. But religion will tell you if you go on your own dark path, that he's coming behind you with a stick. Just turn around one time. Just turn around. I will end you. But can I tell you this? You may feel 1,000 miles from God today, but once you understand the revelation of the love of God, you'll understand that you are simply one step away from coming completely back because he loves you. He longs for you to be made whole. He longs for you to be set free, even if all of your problems are self-imposed. Anybody here ever have some self-imposed trouble? Anybody here honest like me, anybody ever bit off a big old chunk of stupid? How about twice? All right. How many of you have a PhD in chunks of stupid? Just put your hands down right there. God does not insist on his own rights or his own way, for he's not self-seeking. He's not touchy or fretful or resentful. Now listen to this. Listen now. He takes no account of the evil done to him, and he pays no attention to a suffered wrong. He does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but when right and truth prevail. God bears up under anything and everything that comes. Aren't you glad? How about this? He's ever ready to believe the best of me. His hopes toward me are fadeless under all circumstances. His love toward me and in me endures everything without weakening. God never fails, fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. God's hopes are fadeless toward you. He'll never give up on you. Probably the greatest picture you can see of God in the flesh is to watch a mom with her child. You can break a mother's heart. You can put her in a position where maybe through addiction issues, she has to even put up a boundary with you. But can I tell you one thing about a mom? Is that you will have to put her in a grave before she stops hoping for the best for her child. That never stops. Never comes to an end. And it doesn't matter what the child does. Here's something I've learned about being a parent that's true about God and his relationship with us. This is a fact. My children will never love us like we love them. It is impossible because they came out of us. Believe me, they love us because we love them first. And no matter what they do, no matter what mistakes they make, and they will make mistakes. How many of you are human? How many of you have human children? No matter what mistakes they make, no matter what battles they have to fight, we don't even think about our love changing. They will never love us like we love them. And you will never love God like he loves you. You can only respond to that love. And the more you know he loves you, the more you know he wants to be help you to be hopeful and endure everything without weakening, to be having to believe the best about you. When you understand that about him, it will drive you into his presence. It's when you start to believe the love of God that your life changes. Not some religious theory, but I'm talking to you about believing the truth about who God is. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. Let me read this to you. For we have known, believed, and come to trust the love that God has toward us. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. It is through this understanding, what understanding? That God is love and that you have to believe it. It is through the understanding of knowing, believing, and trusting that God is love. It is through this understanding that love has attained its perfection in us. Now listen to this. Enabling us to be bold and have perfect or absolute confidence and fearlessness on the day of judgment. For we realize that our life in this world is actually his life lived in and through us. Listen to those words. He said, when you understand God's love for you and you come to believe it, you will be fearless on the day of judgment. Can I tell you that 9 out of 10 Christians are afraid to die? They're not afraid to die that they're not going to go be with God. But they think of God's judgment and they think, what's really going to happen when I get there? I know I've given my life to Jesus, but I am one mixed up person and I've made so many mistakes. And God, I've done a lot of stuff I shouldn't do even on purpose. And man, I know when I get there, oh Jesus, I hope this works. He said, but when you know the love of the Father, when you understand that when he redeemed you lock, stock, and barrel. He redeemed you hook, line, fisherman, sinker, boots, boat. He redeemed all of you. He loves you. And he said, if you knew my love for you, if you knew the price I paid, if you knew the depths of the redemption that you received when you bowed your knee to a Savior, when you knew this, when you did this, If you only knew how intimate it made. That's why Hebrews says this, come boldly to the throne of grace whereby you might obtain grace to help you in a time of need. Anybody ever here have a time of need? Can I ask you a question? In your time of need, do you ever feel really spiritual? I don't. But God didn't say, come to me when you feel like you're worthy. He didn't say, come to me when you've done all the things you think you should have done. He said, you come to me and you will obtain, find mercy. What is mercy? God treating you better than you deserve. And you will find grace, that's divine enablement, to help you in your time of need. God is not a problem to you. He is your answer. He is your source. He is what you run to, not away from. And until you have a revelation of the love of God, you will resist his presence rather than run to it. And people are bound to fear, the wrong type of the fear of the Lord. Verse 18 says, for there is absolutely no fear in love. For perfect love casts out fear. If a man fears, there's something imperfect in his understanding of love or God's love. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out the door and expels every trace of terror. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment and is tormenting. And so he who is afraid, listen, of punishment from God, has not yet reached the full maturity of love and has not grown into love's complete perfection. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. He said there is no fear in love. There is absolutely no fear in love. It will remove every trace of terror. It will cause you to not fear punishment from God. Full-grown love, he said, turns fear out the door. We love him because he first loved us. There's no fear in love. Now, I pray you've never, ever have experienced this, and I pray you never even experience it as a participant, as somebody trying to help in this situation. But when you pastor a church and you're involved in every imaginable kind of human tragedy, now, I don't know if you've ever been around children that have been abused physically, and I pray you're not one of them, because it is a devastating thing for a child to go through. And my nature, when I'm, I love kids, and kids are just, They're in my heart. I just love kids. This church reflects the love of God in our heart for the next generation. We love kids here. We spend money on them. We spend our heart on them. We give our time to them, and they will possess the gates of their enemy, and they will not be overcome by the darkness of this culture. And we are going to reach a generation with the love of God, and they are going to walk, and they are not going to fall, and they are going to fulfill the mandate and purpose of their life, no matter how dark this world gets. That's what's going to happen for your children in these coming years, because God is faithful. He loves you. But there's no fear in love. You go up to a normal situation with a child in a normal environment of love, and they go, hey, and you come over, you can put your arm around them and say, I love you, sweetheart. Because you comfort a child with a hug. But when you go to a child who's suffered physical abuse, and if you don't think, and in the beginning you don't, who thinks these horrific thoughts? And you go over to give them a little hug, and when you do, and you raise your hand toward them, they do this. Because they've been abused. And I would submit to you, most Christians treat God like an abusive parent because religion has lied about God. It has told you he is your problem, not your answer. He is your judge, not your redeemer. But isn't he my judge? You better believe he's your judge. And he judged you guilty, and then he paid your debt for you and said, now you're free because I paid the debt, because I love you. You talk about justice. The scripture said his mercy boasted against his judgment. And he sent Christ to die in my place, in your place. It isn't that God isn't a God of judgment. He certainly is. God is a righteous judge. And that judgment was set on me and on you. But the Bible said he poured all of his wrath and all of his judgment on himself when he came, born of a virgin, hung on that cross as a sinless man. And the wrath of God that was due me fell upon him. And Jesus swallowed up the eternal judgment of God toward me when I gave my life to Christ. Most people believe that God loves us and desires to help us, even bless us, based on our performance or our religious observations, or even how we feel about ourselves, not on the basis of his nature, which is love. See, if you're afraid of punishment from God, you don't yet understand his love for you. I mean, raising our kids, our children never have had to wonder about the motive behind our actions. They didn't always understand our actions. They didn't always appreciate them. But I can promise you this, they never ever had to question why we did what we did. And we're mere human beings, and so are you. And religion has twisted the hearts of people. How does this, as we close, apply to you in everyday life? Because you see, understanding his love is the foundation from which every decision you make can be either brought to bring you gain or bring you harm. Living a life of purpose. My life changed that morning in a Sunday morning service as a 20-year-old kid, sitting there just not understanding anything that I could do with my life, feeling like that I don't know why, just that I didn't even think I could have a family. I don't know why. Just remember, I'd see people with a family and I'd think, well, I can't have that. But the love of God pierced my heart, and the shackles and the chains and the invisible walls fell down. And I remember sitting, I remember it like it was today, sitting there saying, wait a minute, if he loves me, I have a future. If he loves me, there's nothing he wouldn't do for me. If he loves me, my life is unlimited. And I could tell you that where you're sitting today in this church, in this wonderful church with these wonderful people, and this wonderful campus would not exist had I not been in a church service at 20 years old and the love of God was revealed to my heart through the ministry of a pastor and the Holy Spirit speaking to my life. My hope today is that you have moments like that every time you come to church, no matter what I'm speaking on, no matter who's speaking, man, woman, whatever, that the Holy Spirit himself will speak to your heart and break the chains and the shackles and the prison walls that bind you, because you don't have to live that way. And it doesn't matter who did what to you. I'm sorry it happened. But you do not have to be defined by anybody's lack of love to you when the Father himself loves you. And when you come to believe it, it will change your life forever. Forever. Believing the love of God will change how you process your future decisions. It will even change how you see failure, how you see fear. Let me close by telling you a story. Let's say we take a little 3-year-old, 4-year-old little boy and he's shy. And he, you know, even gets, when he gets back in the classroom, he kind of, it's hard for him to get in there. It's just, he's going through a stage and he just, oh my gosh, mom. And she talks him into it. And finally he assimilates into the room. And the teacher says, okay, we're going to play a game. And they blindfold, he said, we're going to blindfold all the kids. And when we take them off, we're going to have a surprise. And they walk him all the way into here and everybody's quiet. And he thinks he's just in his classroom. And they think he's about to just do something fun in this classroom. And the teacher walks away. And I walk over and I pull the blindfold off of that little 4-year-old. And he's standing up here. These lights are on him and you're in front of him. That little boy is just going to start to shake. The little boy's going to think, he might start crying. He might start running. He'll start screaming. But then all of a sudden, his mother, who's in here, realizes that somebody did this to her child. And she's about to rescue her child before, but first she's going to go beat to a pulp the person who did this to her child. That mom immediately will stand up in this room and yell his name, Bobby! Bobby, I'm here! And that little boy, he'll hear the voice of his mother. And because he believes her love, this world will change. This room, though he's afraid, will stop affecting him as deeply. And then all of a sudden, his mom's going to come out of the row that she's in. God help you if she's in the middle of the row because she's walking on top of you. And she's not saying, I'm sorry, excuse me. She's saying, get out of my way. That's my child. And that mom's going to come taking off down this aisle. And that little boy is going to run and leap. He ain't going to steps. He's not running that way. He's running right. And he's going to jump into her arms. And all of a sudden, when he gets in her arms, every one of us in this room will disappear. He'll bury his head into the crook of her neck. She'll hold him. He'll wrap his arms around her, his legs around her. She'll say, it's okay, sweetheart. I'm here. And every one of you that scared him, you scary people, will all disappear. And then she's going to find whoever brought her kid in here. And we're going to have a very unhappy moment in the church. Gotta tell you that most people think God put them on the stage like that. Most people, when they feel those moments, run from God. But when you believe the love of God, like that child, you run into the presence of your Father. Because He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He died for you. He has a purpose for you. And when you believe His love, you begin to move into the plan of God for your life. There is nothing good for you outside of God. There is nothing good for you outside of God. Listen to me. There is nothing that you can pursue with your life outside of the pleasure and purpose of God for your life that is good for you. And you can live your whole life trying to figure it out. You can be obstinate. You can be hard-headed. You can be bound up in religion and not yield to God's love. And all you'll do is cause yourself more and more pain. But right on the other side of your decisions is a Heavenly Father that loves you so much that all it takes is one decision to move into His love and you'll begin to experience His unending grace and mercy. He is forever faithful. And it's such an honor. It's not a burden to serve God. It's an honor to serve Him because He set me free. He took my broken life and made me whole. He broke the shackles and chains in my life and continues to break them in my life because of His love for me. That's what it means to be a Christian. And that's available for every one of us today. Would you bow your heads with me today? His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you were to draw your final breath today and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life, if you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you'd spend it? Please, please listen to these words. Eternity is forever. Forever. And Jesus died so that you could have eternal life. So I think I'm a good person, and I'm sure you are, but that's not enough to get you to heaven. Well, I've been to church. Great. Church won't do it. Well, I was baptized as a baby. Wonderful. But that doesn't do it. But I've had sacraments in my church. That's marvelous. But none of that will make you a Christian. There's only one way to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In fact, the scripture said this, if there was any other way of salvation other than the death, burial, resurrection of Christ and you receiving Him, then He died for nothing. So this wonderful celebration of Mother's Day weekend, here's my question. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with the sacrifice of the Son of God for your life? So with heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today and you'd say, Pastor John, would you please pray for me? Would you please include me in a prayer to invite Jesus in my heart? I will pray for you and I'll do it right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. In a moment, I'll ask you to raise your hand. Then the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you right where you're seated. So heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Right where you're at, we'll include you in that prayer. Just say, pray for me. Lift your hand right now and we'll include you in that prayer. Do it right now. Jesus will come into your life. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. If you've not yet raised your hand, you want to be included. Say, Pastor, I can see you're not here to single. Thank you, sir. To embarrass anybody or single anybody out. But I want to be included in that prayer to make Jesus my Savior. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One last time. If you've not yet raised your hand, do it right now. And I'll include you in that prayer as well. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. The best decision of your life. If you raised your hand, or you should have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And your past will be gone and forgotten. And you will have the free gift of eternal life because of a Savior's love. Pray this out loud where you hear it. And we'll pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.